We interrupt our regular programming for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Standing by.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your life.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
1037 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 1037 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
Happy Tuesday to you. And it is a Tuesday, March 26th edition of Bumper to Bumper Sports. And wait until you hear where we're live from today. Fired up on 1037 The Game. Ben Love with you. From T-Mobile, the I-49 frontage road at Sanye Road. It's right next door to La Pizzeria. It is a T-Mobile Tuesday. You're about to find out what that is all about. I'm joined, as always, for the next 2 hours by the famous Clint D. Live inside the 7 Roof Studios, presented by Lafayette Roofing. Big show today, big guest, and I know, LSU's still dancing in March Madness. LSU, UL baseball looking to get up off the mat, but I have to lead off with the New Orleans Saints. This is what the whole offseason has been angling toward, and this is the biggest deal yet. Jared Cook, 2 years, $15.5 million, $8 million of it is guaranteed. I'm going to react to that. I welcome you to do the same. Join us while you can. 706-0111. This is why Drew Brees shed that $10.8 million in 2019. He'll get his scratch later. He'll get that Bobby Bonilla money for years down the road, and that's fine because all of this is about one more championship run for Brees and Peyton together, one last hurrah in New Orleans, at least one last hurrah, and this is the final piece, in my opinion. And as many things as they've done to shore up the defensive line, the offensive line, this is the big deal. Even at running back, right? Trading places. Mark Ingram is out. Latavius Murray is in. A backup quarterback in place in Teddy Bridgewater. This is the biggest piece to the puzzle because this means you don't have to waste precious few draft picks on a tight end. Or somebody like Foster Moreau from LSU is a bit of an experiment. You also don't have to go bananas and blow the bank to go get a secondary wide receiver and a compliment to number 13. Michael Thomas, Alvin Kamara, and now Jared Cook, in my opinion, make up the best big three that any quarterback in the NFL could ask for. There are other wide receiving cores that are better. We know there are. And even if some of the Saints' other receivers don't come around, we know now that Cameron Meredith has taken a bit of a reduced deal to stick around. Tre'Quan Smith is entering year number two, coming out of Central Florida. Even if they don't come around, it no longer matters, at least as much. A healthy Jared Cook, now that Gronk is out of the league and retired, a healthy Jared Cook is a top 3 to 4 pass-catching tight end in all the NFL. At the top, I would put Travis Kelce. You're not getting too far after that you're going to discuss who? Zach Ertz in Philly? Jared Cook? No longer in Oakland, wasting away with Derek Carr and Chucky. He's catching balls from Drew Brees. The last guy who did that and had some chops about him, Ben Watson, had his best year. First time around with the Saints. The guy before that, Jimmy Graham, hasn't been heard from since, at least not to the degree he ever was in the Big Easy. So this is a very big deal. And for the money, I'm going to suggest to you that the Saints got an absolute steal. A little more than $7.5 million. Huge. And so Drew Brees has a bit of a safety blanket. This will take some of the heat off of Kamara coming out of the backfield. This takes heat off of Michael Thomas. So, Clint, as we bring you in today, my observation on this Tuesday toward the end of March, when we should be talking about March Madness, is that the Saints might have just locked in the final piece of the puzzle that's needed. I know, from here, all you have to do is have the refs cooperate. Other than that, things that are within the Saints' control, this is what the whole offseason was gearing toward. The Saints have their pass-catching tight end. I don't care if he's a plus blocker at all, and he hasn't been so far in his career with Oakland. Jared Cook means everything to the development of this offense, and they might just avoid some of that late season stagnation that we saw last year. What say you?
Oh, I'm in the same boat as you, Ben. Mind you, I'm always a big fan of getting a guy like Jared Cook. I've been wanting to see that for the last couple of seasons because you need to have a guy that's a catching tight end, be able to get things done. Josh Hill wasn't the answer. Kobe Fleener definitely wasn't the answer a couple of years ago when we signed him. All those injuries kind of piled up as well. I just think that Jared Cook, based on what we saw last year, because he had his most productive year last year, he's pretty much the final piece in the proverbial infinity gauntlet that the Saints, that Drew Brees has with that offense.
You would make it a weird Marvel reference. You would find a way to make football into an Infinity yes. War reference. But I know this. Last year might have been his best year. Jared Cook is not a flash in the pan. And so for anybody that thinks I'm, prone to a little hyperbole here, that this is exaggeration, I'll go toe-to-toe with you on this one. This is the biggest Saints offseason move, since last year. Worked out pretty well when they went up and got a linebacker from the New York Jets. The season before that, everybody pretty keen on what they were able to do with Alex Okafor. Year before that, it was probably Max Unger. But these guys don't always stick around. In fact, think about two of the three that I just gave you from the past, 4 to 5 years of off seasons. Unger, retired, maybe a touch early due to some injuries. Okafor, he's back out. He was with the Saints for about a two-year run, helped them while he could, and now they're going to let Marcus Davenport take over that defensive end spot. But certainly, I think Demario Davis last year hit in a big way. If they have any semblance of that type of success, year one, going into year two with Jared Cook, this is going to be among the best moves we've seen. I'll say in the Jeff Ireland era, because Loomis has been around for quite some time, but since Jeff Ireland has helped to really guide the ship, their drafts have been better. Their off-season acquisitions have put a fairly aging team in a lot of ways in a position to accomplish something before they have to be put out to pasture. Now, look, I get it. They've got young talent, no question about it. I just mentioned Davenport. We can go to Lattimore, the two offensive studs that have been Pro Bowl-type players, in Kamara and Thomas. But this is a tremendous complimentary piece. So I had to lead off the show talking about the deal that finally got done. And it's been suggested here on B2BS that they were going to do this, right? It's finally done. You don't have to worry about it. And now you can go into the draft, and whatever you get at this point, hey, it's excess, right? It's Lagniappe, as we say here in Lafayette, or Lagniappe, down the road where I'm from, in Baton Rouge. But we're hanging out right now at T-Mobile, the I-49 frontage road at Saunier Road, right next door to La Pizzeria. I encourage you come out and see Randy and the staff, because, after all, it's a T-Mobile Tuesday. Customers get discounts and gifts every Tuesday. I'll tell you about a few of them. How about this one for starters? Every Tuesday, customers get one free taco from Taco Bell. Hey, that's nice, but if you come here in the store, they've got discounts on concert tickets, gas, and if you come in before April 1, change your plan to T-Mobile, you get MLB TV for free this season. Here's the kicker: on any device. So come out and join us for a T-Mobile Tuesday. I-49 Frontage Road and Saunier Road. Big show today lined up as well. Between now and 6 o'clock, we got Cody Warsham coming aboard in 20 minutes. Full preview of LSU-Michigan State and what he's most looking forward to about a trip to Washington, D.C. And then at 5:05, Shea Dixon, it's a two-part interview. First up, recruiting. The Tigers trying to cash in on the Aggies' loss most recently. Plus, what Ed Orgeron and company are doing going out to Maryland in this 2020 class. And then when we flip the script, it's all about the big dance. And we take you right until 6 o'clock. Then you go to Baton Rouge. Jeff Palermo and company will bring you LSU versus McNeese. 6:30 is first pitch. 6 o'clock, the pregame show. Just getting warmed up from T-Mobile here in Cairncrow. You're listening to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Winners eat nachos at a ball game and snag a foul ball barehanded without getting a drop of cheese on their shirt. Winners ride home with Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. Having a lot of fun already. T-Mobile, the I-49 frontage road at Sanye Road. So much fun. I've been told that there's a Sammy Sosa lookalike contest here. You can come and find out for yourself. Bumper to Bumper Sports. Right back in on 103.7 The Game. All right, all jokes aside, there's a man out there who we all know. I'm not sure many of us liked him as a player. Some of you might have. It's South Louisiana, right? Not Cowboy Nation. I think you have to respect what he's done as a broadcaster. And today, he tried to up the ante on his value with CBS. I personally like the move. I'm going to take your temperature on it right now. CD, how about the music?
Exciting and new. Come aboard.
Your sink or swim question of the day. Is Tony Romo worth $10 million a year as a broadcaster? And that is his new asking price. If CBS wants to pair him with Jim Nantz past the end of his contract, right? If they want to keep him past 2020, Romo has issued a $10 million a year price tag. So I'm just curious if you think that he's worth it. And yes, I'm sure that all the Jason Witten jokes will flow naturally. They're welcome here. Call us. Let us know what you think. 706-0111. CD, lead off for us.
I got to wind up going swim here because I feel like it's he knows his value. He knows how much probably if he doesn't get it from CBS, he's going to wind up getting it from the four-letter network down the line because of the fact that he knows how much he's worth. He knows how much money they're going to wind up throwing at him. And he's definitely one hell of an announcer. He's a hell of a commentator as a color guy. He understands the game better than I feel like a whole lot of current players. He's able to explain it all and be able to see what's coming before it even happens. And I have to say, that is extremely impressive in any field of work. But seeing what he's able to do, right away, he's already probably one of my favorite TV announcers right now, even though he's only been doing it for 2 years.
So clearly you're swimming here, and I'll tell you that I am as well. There are a number of reasons. Let's forget about the business sides of it, right? Let's forget about the financial aspect. You're right. Just based off of talent, the guy's a natural, and I hated him as a player. I don't mind telling you that whatsoever. I thought that he was a born loser. And you look at the things that the Cowboys did under his watch. What stands out to me the most is when they were, a short kick away in Seattle in the playoffs from advancing, and they muff a hold on a gimme-style kick. They don't advance, Seattle and Pete Carroll do. I don't like it when Pete Carroll gets to advance. But that was just another example for me of Romo being a guy who he just felt snake-bitten with the Cowboys. Now, let's consider Tony Romo's life outside of playing with the Dallas Cowboys. He has been a scratch golfer. He's had opportunities to play at kind of quasi-professional levels, right? Just about qualifying for the U.S. Open. And as I mentioned, there's no other word that fits better than natural to describe what he's done as a color analyst. In fact, I would make an argument that he has evolved the position because typically in that spot, you have guys that are a little stodgy. You don't have a lot of actual color in your color analyst. This guy gets animated. He gets excited. And he almost gives you the feel that you're watching the game with him in the stands. And then, oh, by the way, Clint, to your point, he does it all the while predicting every damn thing that's about to happen. Tony Romo almost quite literally cost the Kansas City Chiefs defensive coordinator his job, in my opinion. Because when you watch the Kansas City-New England game, it was pretty clear. Romo knew exactly what was going to happen with Edelman, with Gronk, with James White, and then nobody with the Kansas City defense had the wherewithal to match what Romo was calling from the booth. It's incredible what Tony Romo has done. So it's the oracle part of him, right? It's the entertaining part. He gets excited, talks to you like you're actually watching the game with him in the stands. Not all stiff in the booth. He is amazing at that job. Now let's get to the business, the dollars and cents side. There are a lot of other platforms that will take him and pay him that much because I believe he is worth it. And if you've seen what some of the guys with Turner Broadcasting are making for the Inside the NBA shows, I get it. They've got an 82-game regular season, then the playoffs there. It's a much longer season. They're earning their keep night in, night out a little more than somebody like Romo is. But how much do you think the Mickey Mouse Network would pay right now to have a mulligan and plug him into the spot where his former teammate, Jason Witten, failed? And so that's the other part of this. Tony Romo has every leverage chip at the bargaining table here. Every one of them. You don't want me? ESPN will. You don't want me? I'll go back and play football. He can still play that card. He's young enough to where it makes sense. Jason Witten did it. But again, I think that was a merciful parachute move that the mothership allowed him to make so they didn't have to announce that they were firing his ass. So for me, Tony Romo has every single bargaining chip here. What do you think? We got some time for you. Don't forget Cody Warsham coming aboard in about 9 or 10 minutes. You want to play along? We could talk Jared Cook to the Saints. We could also go in on this new topic. Tony Romo, is he worth that 10 mil? We got a lot of response on social media. We'll share that in a moment. When you're ready, 706-0111. But I can share, taking a break, waiting on your phone calls, I can share some breaking news. In the world of the SEC hoops coaching carousel, Mike Anderson, the latest to get Das Boot up in Arkansas. So by my count, that now makes 5 SEC jobs that are likely to be vacated. LSU fans, you won't want to hear this, but yes, Will Wade's is almost certainly one. But think about everybody else. Vanderbilt. We already know that Texas A&M. We already know that Alabama. And look, one of those might have been a joint decision. It seemed like Avery Johnson was getting a little antsy in Tuscaloosa. I believe his son is no longer playing with the program or maybe is soon to graduate. Avery has been an NBA coach of the year, so I'm not sure that the guy was feeling the vibe. Wanted to go out and recruit day in, day out, and they didn't have a lot of success this year. So that one might have been quasi-mutual. It was not in College Station. Billy Kennedy, a really good coach, and people here in Louisiana know about Billy Kennedy. He's out. And so the Aggies, look, they just made a splash hire in college football, right? They're paying buku bucks, $7.5 million a season for Jimbo Fisher to lead that program. They're not going to spare any expense going out to find a top-notch basketball lead man. And so look at every angle away from LSU right now. There'll be a new coach at Vandy, a place that's been good in recent years. You got a new one coming in Tuscaloosa, in College Station. Now we know in Fayetteville, and yes, I think it's safe to assume that LSU will be looking for a new coach as well. So, wow, a conference that has 4 teams left in the Sweet 16, one that got 7 teams into the Big Dance overall, is going to be having turnover with, what, close to a third of the league? A little more, in fact, than a third of the league. So pretty incredible what's going on as we continue here in March Madness. And we're going to continue on. Got some more time left in this segment. Bumper to Bumper Sports, thrilled to be live from T-Mobile in Carencro. Come see us at the I-49 Frontage Road at Saunier Road, right next door to La Pizzeria. It is a T-Mobile Tuesday. Customers getting discounts and gifts every single Tuesday. Also includes up to $650 back to pay off your contract via trade-in credit and prepaid card when you trade in your phone. You've also got that chance, baseball fans, to come in, switch your plan over to T-Mobile, and get MLB TV free for the entire season. The part I love is you can get it on any device you've got. I watch a good bit of MLB TV. And as we just went through in the store here, you go out and buy it on your own like me and 2 other unnamed people have, $118. And that's without the tax. So, yeah, me and my boys are splitting 3 ways. But you come here to T-Mobile, you split it 1 way. It's yours, and you watch it wherever you want. We got plenty of college basketball on the dial today as well. Yesterday, we re-ranked the Final 16, and I'll refresh it a little bit for you. Not necessarily my rankings, my feelings, but kind of what you're looking at this point. You got 5 ACC teams that are left. 4 hail from the SEC. We just told you that. 3 Big Ten teams remaining. And what's most interesting to me, LSU, Michigan State, if you heard Ricky Blanton on this show yesterday, the former LSU Tiger said, it's going to be difficult for LSU to play a half-court style game and beat Sparty. If you were tuned in at 6 o'clock, we went up to East Lansing. Hondo Carpenter told us LSU doesn't want to get in a running game with Michigan State. So I've had a little bit of time to dice that up and try to figure out, okay, which one is it? What type of pace does LSU prefer in this Sweet 16 game? I'll ask that question of Cody Warsham coming up on the other side of this break, but where I've landed on it is this. If Cassius Winston of Michigan State gets a full head of steam and LSU struggles to get back in transition, then yeah, you don't want a running game with Michigan State. But I don't think the Tigers can change their stripes this late in the season. I still think at every opportunity, if Waters, Mays, Smart, some of the guys that come in off the bench and have all kinds of energy, floor-running bigs like an Emmett Williams and Darius Day, if they can push the pace in this one, and it's not haphazard, right? If it happens within the type of flow that LSU likes to dictate, I think they got to take their chances. And they got to find a way to speed up Michigan State again when it makes sense. The Spartans scored 76 in their opening round win over Bradley, 70 in their win over Minnesota in the round of 32. So it's not a team that so far has played in the 75, 80, 85 point range. If LSU could force that tempo and it makes sense, I think they seriously have to look at that. All right, we are coming up on our halfway point of the 4 o'clock hour. Cody Warsham on the other side. He was in Jacksonville. He'll be in Washington, D.C. next. Excited about that conversation. We'll sneak in a phone call. I see the message from Clint, so let's get out now to the Ardco Equipment Hotline. Frank, welcome in. What you got for me today?
Well, man, I love the signing of Jared Cook. I think he's a great tight end. I hope Breeze makes him better. I like his numbers, but this all goes back to everything that my buddy and I talked about. If the Zebras don't do their job, they can have the most phenomenal team in the world and still get the hose.
Yeah, there's no question, right? If what happens at the end of the NFC title game ever repeats itself, then offseason signings, draft picks be damned. Frank, we appreciate the call. Got to crash land into a break. Again, on the other side, Cody Warsham, all LSU hoops in that conversation. From 5:05 until 5:30, it'll be our buddy Shay Dixon, go247.com, the latest in LSU and SEC recruiting. Plus, his questions to me, that's why we call it Flip the Script, when it comes to the NCAA tournament and LSU basketball. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to T-Mobile in Carrickrow. It's a T-Mobile Tuesday, and you're listening in on 103.7 The Game.
Pelicans guard Drew Holiday done for the remainder of the season. Going to have surgery to repair a core muscle injury. Meanwhile, Nebraska has fired head coach Tim Miles after 7 years. The favorite, Fred Hoiberg, former coach of the Chicago Bulls and of Iowa State. Robert Kraft of the New England Patriots has officially entered a not guilty plea to both charges of first-degree solicitation. Both are misdemeanors in the alleged incident occurring at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa back on January 19th and 20th in Florida. Jared Cook's deal with the Saints finalized today. 2 years, $15.5 million, $8 million of it guaranteed for the former Raiders tight end. And New York Mets and Jacob deGrom, a five-year, $137.5 million extension for the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner. I'm Dan Schwartzman. This is NBC Sports Radio.
The Pizzone from Pizza Hut. It's meaty, cheesy, and you know it's big. The pepperoni Pizzone is back and part of the $5 lineup. Two or more, just $5 each. No one out pizzas the Hut.
Ask or click for offer. Product availability, prices, participation in delivery areas, and minimums vary. Delivery charge is not a driver tip.
With the official NFL app, you can stay up to date with your favorite team all offseason long.
Let's get it!
The NFL app has you covered as you prepare for some of the biggest events in the offseason, like free agency and the NFL draft, where you can get live coverage.
This young man does it all.
You never know what's going to happen in the NFL draft.
Keep up with all the breaking news, highlights, stats, and more. Download today at NFL.com/mobile or in your app store. Certain restrictions and data rates may apply.
The Pizzone from Pizza Hut. It's meaty, cheesy, and you know it's big. The pepperoni Pizzone is back and part of the $5 lineup. Two or more, just $5 each. No one out pizzas the Hut.
Ask or click for offer. Product availability, prices, participation in delivery areas, and minimums vary. Delivery charge is not a driver tip.
This is it.
Hi, this is Don Allen, inviting you to listen to Five Guys Stories and Lies for the honest truth behind Acadiana's most iconic sports stories from the sportscasters and writers who witnessed it all. Every Wednesday night at 6, exclusively on 103.7 The Game.
103.7 The Game wants to hook you up with the ultimate hangout music fest experience. 4 3-day passes and a free condo for the weekend. It's a music vacation for you and three friends. May 17th through the 19th, featuring Travis Scott.
I know you with the pick and roll. Young and Flame here in sicko mode.
Cardi B.
I need the dollars to jump, beat it up like a nine.
Khalid.
Send me your location.
Hozier.
Take me to church. I worship like a dog at the shine of your light.
The Lumineers.
I've been on.
Vampire Weekend. And many more. So, how do you win? It's easy. Sign up to win in the clubhouse at 1037thegame.com. You and three friends could be off to Gulf Shores for Hangout Music Festival 2019 with 4 3-day passes and a free condo. Brought to you by Marley Sports Bar. Brett Robinson, 1037 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
Let's think about customization presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
Liberty Mutual customizes your auto insurance so you only pay for what you need. So why aren't more things in life customizable? Like, why do I have to pay a full gym membership when I don't even use all the equipment? Like the rowing machine. I don't know about you, but I'm not doing a ton of manual lake travel these days.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer.
You don't just want a vehicle that looks like the car of your dreams. You want it to sound like it as well. B&M Auto Sound and 4x4. The first and oldest 4x4 shop in the Lafayette area. Whether it's a Harley, Jeep, side-by-side, or anything in between. We do everything from high-end stereos to lift kits. Lafayette's unquestioned leader for the kits. Rims, tires, stereos, and lights you need to build the vehicle of your dreams. On Jefferson, across from Gidry's Hardware, and at bmautosound.com.
Hi, this is Lieutenant Governor Billy Nungesser, inviting you to take a Louisiana staycation. Do you know the story of the Baroness de Pontalva? Learn how she helped design Jackson Square and the impact her life had on the French Quarter at the Cabildo now. You have a sports fan in the family? The Louisiana Sports Hall of Fame in Natchitoches is just a ticket. One of 9 museums that tell thousands of stories to feed your soul. Plan your family staycation at one of our great museums in Louisiana at louisianatravel.com.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Office of Tourism.
Just a couple of hours remaining for you to nominate your favorite student athlete here in the Acadiana area. It could be a young man, a young woman. It could be one of both. Just make sure you go to 1037thegame.com. You'll see the big featured image, the big Ardco Equipment logo. Of course, this contest brought to you by our friends at Ardco Equipment. But stop in again by the end of tonight. We'll stop taking submissions for the month of March. And tomorrow, we should be able to announce, again, one young man and one young woman. We're fired up about this. It's our first month of a Student Athlete of the Month award, and it is brought to you by Ardco Equipment, Highway 90, just about where Broussard meets the Berry.
Gridiron debates never go out of style on Bumper to Bumper Sports.
Well, I had never thought of it that way.
But feel free to be right anytime you're ready to start on 103.7 The Game.
Welcome back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports live on 103.7 The Game. Still hanging out and having a lot of fun. Look, this is T-Mobile, I-49 Frontage Road at Saunier Road. Yeah, T-Mobile customers getting discounts and gifts each and every Tuesday. We'll remind you about some of those deals later. But right now, time to take a short trip down the road to Baton Rouge aboard the Ardco Equipment Hotline. He's the host of the Boot Up Podcast, and his day job, he's the digital media reporter for LSU Sports. It's Cody Worsham. How are you, Cody?
Doing great, Ben. Good to be on with you.
All right, so tell me, Jacksonville was one heck of an experience. I'm sure you're looking forward to Washington, D.C. a little bit more, though.
Yeah, no knock on Jacksonville, which has been very good to me and to LSU fans throughout the year. If you go back to to 2006 when Daryl Mitchell hit a big shot there and sparked a nice tournament run for the team. But D.C., I think, has a little bit more to offer in terms of tourism and off-work activities, I think. So it'll be nice to get up to the capital city. I've never been there before. I got a buddy up there who's lived there for a couple of years. That's going to show me around. I don't think that's necessary. I don't know if you've ever been. I imagine that you don't really need somebody to show you around D.C., but you know, maybe a little insider knowledge will help.
I'm like 90 minutes away from off-work activities myself, and so me and everybody listening, I think, feels you on that, Cody. Take me to the last play when Trey Waters wins the ball game. 1.6 seconds to go. You're near enough to that huddle. Was it just like Will Wade would have been coaching there? Benford said, hey, we called what Wade would have called. Take me through the calling of the play, the execution, and I would imagine how unsurprised you were with the result.
Yeah, I think it's what Wade would have done. I think it's the right call to make in that situation. The biggest thing that I was thinking ahead of time is you got to make sure you get the last shot. You don't want to take a shot with 4 seconds left that, you know, you get called for an over the back or a shot gets blocked or whatever. You want to make sure that you're shooting the ball and there's really no time left for the other team to make a play. So I thought that the timing of it was good. You know, the middle of that zone was open all day for LSU. They couldn't figure out the best way to exploit it. They tried dumping it into Nazarene. Didn't have much success there. They tried shooting over it, which, you know, they had not very much success with until Skyler Mays hit a three. But I think they had kept that in their back pocket the whole time, that play they call 54, which is, you know, just a flat back screen, and Tremont Waters goes off of it and attacks. And he did exactly what he needed to do. I thought the biggest part of the play that maybe got overlooked was on the backside. Cavell Bigby-Williams had the had Bruno Fernando and just step in front of him, sealed him, cleared out a space to the rim. If he doesn't do that, I think that shot gets blocked by Tremont Waters, but Cavell made the play and Tremont made the shot. So I thought it was a calm huddle. That's the thing about this team. Like, I'm sitting over there, and I'll be honest, I was very, very pessimistic about LSU's chances and thinking, look, there's no way they're going to get past this after giving up that lead. And they seem unfazed by it. And sometimes it's almost maddening, like, hey, you know, just from a fan's perspective, hey, you guys wake up, like, they're coming back. But the flip side of it is that they don't really panic and they stay calm. And so in big moments, they're able to make big plays. And that's what happened.
Cody Worsham, LSU Sports Digital Media Reporter, our guest. And he's taking us inside the ropes of Tiger basketball in 103.7 The Game. Pretty natural, I guess, transition segue that you just gave us, Cody. The idea that the zone gave LSU some trouble, but they finally, on that last play, found their way into the middle of it. The good news with Michigan State, you don't have to worry about a zone. You're going to get straight man. Which players offensively for LSU will that leave the biggest burden and maybe the biggest opportunity for come Friday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all starts with Tremont Waters with this team. If he plays well offensively, they tend to play well offensively. When he struggles, it's certainly not like last year where when he played poorly, they had no chance. They can overcome poor games from him, but I think that's against certain opponents. I don't think you can beat Michigan State if Tremont Waters doesn't come out and have a big game. So, you know, I don't know if he gets matched up with Cassius Winston on the other end. That's Michigan State's point guard. He's one of the best players in the country. If he is matched up with him, that's going to be a fascinating matchup of two of the most dynamic point guards in the country. But I think it starts and finishes with him. And, you know, when LSU's played these teams that pack it in defensively and these man-to-mans and sit down and guard you, they've struggled as much with that as they have with zones when they play these really compact man-to-man defenses. Michigan State's a little more aggressive. They don't force a lot of turnovers, but they will hedge you. They will double Tremont Waters off of a ball screen at times. So then you're looking at secondary playmakers, and I think you go to Naz Reid, and he's got a he's got to be efficient. He's got to protect the basketball. Michigan State, their bigs are so versatile. They can step out and shoot it. They can protect the rim. They rebound everything. This is one of those games where the massive size advantage that LSU's had in the past, they're not going to have it because Michigan State can run, you know, three guys out there that are 6'10", 6'11". So I think Naz Reid's going to have to play well. He's going to have to be efficient and make shots. And most importantly, not turn it over because Michigan State doesn't turn you over a bunch. And any little bonus that they can get and points off of turnovers is going to help them. They will run. They will run. They will get up and down. They will push it offensively in transition, and then they're really good in transition defense too. So, if LSU starts turning the ball over, if Naz Reid starts turning the ball over inside, I think that's a recipe for disaster.
So let's piggyback off that. Is it your opinion, Cody, that LSU is best off from a pace standpoint trying to slow this one down? Because that goes so contrary to what we've seen from this team all season long.
No, I think you got to run. I think it's, you know, you run against a running team. I think you've got to get out and transition on your side and make sure that Michigan State didn't get theirs in transition. The biggest way to keep a team out of transition is to score the basketball. So I think the worst thing that LSU can do, though, is just start settling for a bunch of jumpers, which they've done recently. It did against Maryland. And Michigan State's good at that. They're good at they don't give up dribble penetration. They force you to take contested jumpers and they rebound them. So LSU's going to have to balance being patient and waiting for good shots with get out and run and play an open game, because that's where Tremont Waters is at his best. That's when he tends to get in the paint and wreak havoc, and then that opens up things for other teams. I don't think this LSU team is very good when they get late in the shot clock. It's just not their style of basketball. I think they've got to go fast. And I think the biggest thing is just going to be knocking down jumpers. It's not what LSU does well, and it is what Michigan State does well defensively, is enticing you into jumpers. But, I think LSU is going to have to shoot better from three, shoot better from the perimeter in this game, because Michigan State is so tough and everything else. I do think LSU will get some of the things they like, especially at the rim, points of the paint. They'll certainly get some, and they'll test Michigan State there. But they're going to have to offer more. This is the best team that LSU's played maybe this season. I put them right up there with Tennessee and Kentucky and anyone else that LSU's played this year. This is a really, really good basketball team. LSU's going to have to be at its best.
Cody Worsham, our guest, for another moment or two, I encourage you to read his work, lsusports.net, or listen to it, the Boot Up Podcast, wherever podcasts are found. Hey, remind our listeners, Cody, just what the travel schedule and the preparation, final descent toward Friday looks like.
Yeah, the team's leaving Wednesday, I think around 2:30. And then landing, I think, 5:30 Eastern in D.C. At that point, I believe, just kind of settle in and unpack at the hotel, team meetings, all that kind of stuff. And then Thursday to the arena for practice and shoot around. I have to look at the schedule again. I don't know if they're doing, last trip out to Jacksonville, we went and did a shoot around. And after, went and did another little practice at North Florida. I'm not sure if they're going to do that second practice or not. We'll just kind of see. But that whole day of Thursday is just, get to the arena, shoot around, preparation. And then Friday, it's game time. Games are, 6 Eastern or 7 Eastern, 6 Central. So long day. LSU's played two earlier games. I'm curious if a longer day benefits LSU, if it is neutral or if it has an adverse effect. We'll see. That's sort of the schedule from here until game time.
I think everybody recognizes LSU can win this game, but it's not a surprise that they are not favored. I was a little interested in the line. It's 6 in the direction of Michigan State. For you, is that fair or foul, Cody?
I checked KenPom. I think KenPom was at 8 for Michigan State. That seems fair. This is a Michigan State team that really should be or could be a 1 seed. And if you look at their metrics, I think in KenPom they're like 3rd or 4th in the country. They're super, super good offensively, and they're even better defensively. And LSU, meanwhile, as good as they've been offensively, defensively they've been good but not great. I think they're in the 40s or 50s in terms of defensive efficiency. So Michigan State is definitely the favorite. That feels about right to me. I don't pay a whole lot of attention to lines, but I do think, if you just look at the metrics, they're probably a couple baskets per 40 minutes better than LSU statistically. That said, LSU's been phenomenal away from home, and they tend to play their best against better teams. So I think it'll be a little bit closer than that. I think it's going to be a game that, it's a basket either way to the winner. And LSU's been good in those games. I think the number is 13 wins of 6 points or less, and that's most in the country. So this is a team that's used to playing close games and used to winning them.
Cody, we appreciate the time. LSU fans are hoping this isn't the final road trip you'll make during the basketball season. We appreciate it again, man. Thank you.
Yeah, good to be on with you, Ben.
Truly a traveling man. He's going to Jacksonville. He'll be in D.C. I'm sure there are many within earshot of my voice that would love Cody Worsham to head to Minneapolis. Oh, the first, Saturday in April? I think that would work out okay for just about everybody. We're coming right back in. Let's recap again the Jared Cook signing for the Saints. Take more of your calls. And then Tony Romo, time to get paid. Do you agree with it? And, of course, we're getting you ready for Shay Dixon, 5:05, a double dose of one of your favorite listens every single week. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports. We'll be right back out to T-Mobile at the I-49 Frontage Road and Sanye Road. This is B2BS on 103.7 The Game.
Show won't protect your quarterback or cover downfield, but it's got animal control down pat.
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
Back to Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
I think, you know, it gives us a threat opposite of Mike. You know, a lot of times where Mike lines up is opposite the tight end. We feel like we've got some good tight ends in the building that, you know, that we have roles and visions for. But I think Jared's got a unique skill set, and we saw a lot of good tape of him.
There's Sean Payton talking about the newest New Orleans Saint, Jared Cook. We'll dive back into that, let you hear some more from the head New Orleans Saint himself, Sean Payton. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, still hanging out. Having a blast at T-Mobile in Carencro, the I-49 frontage road at Sanye Road, right next to La Pizzeria. And right as we came back on the air here to wind down hour number one, had a happy customer leaving on a T-Mobile Tuesday. They had one of those leftover T-Mobile umbrellas. They sent him packing with one of those, plus a new phone. They can do the same for you. Come see him today. We'll be out here until 6 o'clock. Their doors will be open today until 8 o'clock, so they'll keep the party going here, T-Mobile in Carencro. But that sound from Sean Payton, I'm glad that he's seen some tape on the guy that he just made a move for, right, in free agency. Jared Cook, two-year, $15.5 million deal, $8 million of that guaranteed. And this was rumored, suggested, but not finalized throughout the weekend. Now it's a done deal. And now I think you can start to celebrate a little bit because the verbiage you heard from Sean Payton there, it can be used in reference to a number of Saints players. Unique. That's what he said about Jared Cook's skill set. Boy, I would say the same when it comes to Alvin Kamara. And then there's one other freakishly unique talent the Saints have on offense. And let's not forget about him. The difference that Jared Cook might make on Taysom Hill. Some of the things that you can do with a tight end like Taysom Hill who can run it, block it, catch it. He goes in motion. He can displace defenders, take them away from Jared Cook. Look, I am no Sean Payton. I am no Joe Brady. Now with LSU, who was with the Saints last few years. But boy, could I do some things in the old, you know, Madden Xbox or like PS4 back room, drawing up some plays. I could do some things with that offense, and I'm betting that Sean Payton and this group can as well. So I think this Jared Cook deal has the chance to pay some major dividends. Let's hear a little bit more from Sean Payton. Here he talks about Gail Benson. Now, what's interesting, Miss Benson's name is more in the paper lately and on radio here, like on Acadiana Sports Station, because of her vow that she will never get rid of the New Orleans Pelicans. Well, that's good and all, but the head coach of the Saints, he appreciates her too.
She's been outstanding, very supportive. She's been tremendous. And she starts with the fans' eye. And that's why she's been real successful just in her first year, not only with our team, but she starts with the consumers up.
And so a little bit from Payton on his new tight end, on the steadfast owner of the New Orleans Saints. I want to finish here. Look, you're going to hear this. It'll be new to you like it's new to me. But Sean Payton on fantasy football, of all things.
Some of you don't remember, man, the Sunday broadcast started with Jimmy the Greek telling me the over, the under, take the line, take the team. I was 9 years old thinking, Dad, what's he talking about? He said, never mind. But then along came this great thing, fantasy football. And what fantasy did, it didn't change who was betting or who wasn't betting on the game. It changed what was being discussed, though. And there's nothing better now. That starts on Tuesday. Sit them. Play them. It's exciting. You know, everyone you know has a skin in the game. Whether then they don't have to watch the whole game, right? They don't have to watch 3 hours because they really don't want to watch 3 hours of a game. But they want to have some vested interest in what's going on. So I think that's brought more people to our game. So now, in about 2 years, these you're not just going to get pats on the back and office party hugs when you win your fantasy. You follow me? Now you're going to have a little thing that says, well, I'll bet $8, right? I feel and you're going to play. So we're not going to be perfect, but certainly you have to appear like you're trying to be.
Props to Sean Payton. That was fantastic. And I haven't really heard people involved with the NFL outspoken in a positive way like that when it comes to fantasy football. It's broadened the scope of who will follow the sport. It's brought more people to the sport. They may stick with it for different reasons than they used to, but hell, at least they're sticking with it. And for a league that's had its own share of image issues, I don't have to list all of them for you. You can probably figure the litany out like I can, right? I think that's a really refreshing take from Sean Payton. Excited about what fantasy football brings to the league, not maybe some of the detraction and wondering if all the players are going to fulfill everyone's fantasy needs, not winning for their own team needs. Interesting there. All right, we got more time for you. Don't forget, Shea Dixon, about 10 minutes exactly from right now. But you want to get in before then, just dial 706-0111. CD, while we're waiting, we did ask a sink or swim question. Is Tony Romo worth $10 million a year as a broadcaster? That's what he wants, to stick with Jim Nantz and CBS past the 2020 season. Why don't you give us an update from the Twitter machine? What's that say?
Most of Twitter is actually leaning towards sink here. 65% saying he's not worth $10 million a year as a broadcaster. I don't know what they're listening to.
And, you know, we've got different viewpoints on Facebook as well. Jim says, not even as a QB, so hell to the no. Oh, how does that correlate? I'm not exactly sure there. How does the market value of an aging quarterback compare to the market value of an up-and-coming star in the broadcast booth? I don't know about that. That would be like saying that Chuck Barkley, when he was fat and left the Rockets, was not worth however much Ted Turner was going to pay him to be the funniest guy we've ever seen talk about pro basketball. I don't know that that's apples to apples, but we appreciate the response. Robert on Facebook, yes, he is. Clint, I'm a little blown away with the Twitter response so far. Overwhelming majority say that Tony Romo is not worth $10 million a year as a broadcaster. And look, if this is going to take us down the rabbit hole of, well, teachers need to be paid more, let's not have that conversation today. We can't make everything about that. I know that the different workforces and industries in this country aren't always equally represented. I get all of that. But just based off market value, I have a hard time seeing the no side of this. I have a hard time seeing the sink side of this. And as I've told you, I'm not exactly a devout Romo fan. In fact, in my days before I was a broadcaster, I said some fairly ugly things about the Cowboys under Tony Romo. But, hey, those are neither here nor there. All right, Clint, before we shut down hour one of two, how about one final word?
What's up, Acadiana? I'm Gabe Broussard from Strange Theories and Season 11 of The Boys. It's almost 5 o'clock. Now it's time for the final word of the hour, and it's presented to you by me and my family at the Village Station. We are your final stop to fill up your stomach and your tank when you're heading home on Maurice Avenue. Now, here's Ben. His voice is pretty nice, but I don't think he could ever make two chairs turn.
Whole staff. And yeah, it's more of a name, maybe even more of a mentality than it is a word under Palmineri at LSU, but that's what they'll have on display tonight at the box. McNeese coming to town. Yes, Mikhail Hilliard will start. If he goes more than three, I'd be pretty surprised. And so you're going to get the Johnny slash Jack Holstaff approach following that. To Clint's point yesterday, I'll bring it up again now. How does that affect the way you operate this weekend? And it's an early weekend series at that. Thursday through Saturday, LSU baseball at number 2, Mississippi State. You're going to need some of these relievers. How quickly, how often, and how long will you burn them up tonight? Holstaff, the final word of this hour, and it's brought to you by the Village Station, your final stop to fill the stomach and tank as you head home on Maurice Avenue. Right now, our home, for at least the next hour is T-Mobile in Karen Crow. Come out and check us out. It's a T-Mobile Tuesday, the I-49 frontage road at Sanye Road, right next door to La Pizzeria. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, coming right back on 103.7 The Game.
We interrupt our regular program for this special event.
All systems are go at this time.
It's time for the kickoff.
30 seconds.
Okay, listen up.
Get ready for the ride of your lives.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
Number one.
We are number one.
103.7 The Game.
KLWB. Karen Crow, Lafayette.
Let's get down to it.
And this is Bumper to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
And live online at 1037thegame.com.
Is that who I think it is?
The wild, the weird, and the wonderful.
Hell yeah.
And now let's get started.
We are off and running. Hour 2 of 2 underway. I'm Ben Love, and this is Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game. Having a lot of fun, and we're not done yet. At T-Mobile in Karen Crow, it is a T-Mobile Tuesday. More on the specials they have later in the hour. We got Shea Dixon coming aboard less than a minute from right now, so don't you go anywhere. But the biggest sports stories of the day, at least locally, the Saints have signed tight end Jared Cook, formerly of the Oakland Raiders, two-year, $15.5 million deal, $8 million of that is guaranteed. Number one, it's a steal. Number two, Drew Brees has a new weapon. Michael Thomas has a new friend. And Taysom Hill, hey, he's not the only tight end that maybe could do some damage from a unique position. Outside of Saints football, in the last hour, we learned that Mike Anderson, Arkansas basketball head coach, has been bounced out of Fayetteville. That's now officially four SEC vacancies, along with A&M, Alabama, and Vanderbilt. And with the status of Will Wade, I think there's a chance that five of the 14 SEC basketball coaches at least won't be returning next year. All right, enough of that for now. Let's bring you to the man.
Bring them out, bring them out, bring them out.
It's time for Shea Dixon of Go247.
It's no surprise. He's here, and we have brought him out. Shea Dixon, Go247.com. Happy Tuesday to you, Shea. How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Ben?
You know that life is good. And you know that we got to talk some recruiting before we can flip the script. So let's get to your specialty, and let's talk about a kid that he definitely belongs on the all-name team. There's no question about that. He might end up on LSU's team. Time will tell. But we learned over the weekend that 2020 defensive back Major Burns, a kid that is on a lot of radars, right, plays at Madison Prep in Baton Rouge. He decommitted from Texas A&M. Give me the skinny and the significance.
Well, the skinny is that this was a kid in Major Burns, and you obviously know well. You've covered the basketball prep scene for a long time. Madison Prep has been well known for what they've been able to do on the basketball court and putting out high-level FBS prospects on the hardwood. And now they've actually got a couple of guys in this class who are going to end up playing big-time football in Major Burns and Joel Williams, both of them playing defensive back at Madison Prep. And Major Burns is really, I mean, he's one of those guys who's taken his game far away from where he was wrapping up as a sophomore to where he is, you know, through his junior year and into senior year. And I think that the biggest thing we've seen is that he's added a bunch of weight. He's gotten much more muscular. He's grown. He's so long. And he's really kind of honed in on what his game is as a defensive back and as a corner. And he had committed to Texas A&M early on, right? So they were the team to beat. They were one of his first offers. They got his commitment. And then last week he was invited over by Ed Orgeron and Corey Raymond to sit down and have a talk with the staff, and he did. And they offered him a scholarship then, and it wasn't long after that that Oklahoma offered, Florida recently offered. So I think we're seeing a mix of what an LSU offer can do for a Baton Rouge kid, obviously a defensive back, but also just often what an early commitment can mean for a kid who, when he committed, was not on the national radar. Now he very much is. College teams all over, coast to coast, are after him. And now he's taking a step back and saying, hey, look, let me go around and look at all my options now that I have many more options than I had initially. So certainly notable news. And look, this is a four-star kid who keeps climbing up the rankings. We could be talking about Major Burns as a top, you know, one, and not one, I don't think, but, you know, a top three, four, five player in the state. I think he's 6'7" right now, but he's trending in the right direction, and I think he's going to wind up being a guy that we talk about a ton over the next year.
The game is always the game when you're talking recruiting. And, Shea, if memory serves, I think the first big football recruit to come out of Madison Prep was Malcolm Roach, right, a defensive end that ended up at Texas. So maybe they're stopping some of the bleeding from those Chargers football players heading west on I-10?
Maybe so. And last year they had a guy as well sign. He went to Missouri. So they're starting to send guys a little bit all over. So kudos to the Madison Prep team for that. That's impressive if you can pull it off on the hardwood and on the court.
He is Shea Dixon. You can read, watch, listen, just consume his work. Go247.com. Let's go one more, at least, on the recruiting front. And this, for a lot of people, was cool, but still a head-scratcher, so we'll go there. LSU went up to Maryland for Damon Clowney. And, yes, that is the younger cousin of former South Carolina star Jadeveon Clowney. We know that's outside of LSU's normal recruiting area. What gives with that? Obviously, nobody's upset about it, but just curious, what's the background there?
Yeah, I think we're seeing a shift in Ed Orgeron's approach. And look, man, not that LSU isn't a national brand, right? Like, you can go out, and if you're showing up in an LSU polo, recruiting at a high school on the East Coast or on the West Coast, it holds certainly some meaning. But I think that coming off into year six bowl, you have a little bit more kind of spotlight with kids than maybe you were used to. You were a team that was on TV a lot. You had some big wins. You played in some big games. So I think we're seeing that. But I think, and here's my opinion, and I think it's well-founded. I think that even if you asked Ed Orgeron this, I think that he would say that there's some truth to it. But we saw LSU go into Mississippi last year at the end and try to recruit defensive linemen. And while they were in it, you never quite knew where you stood, right? And you always knew. And look, they got Ra'Darius Jones, which was huge. They've gotten guys like Miles Brennan and Sidney Charles, which is big. But Mississippi State and Ole Miss, they could be down and out. Ole Miss certainly is, and are still grabbing those guys. And then you're going against Bama getting into Mississippi and Georgia. And, you know, it's just Mississippi's just known as one of those places that you better be – there's no rest for the weary, right? There's no guarantees when you're in Mississippi doing your recruiting. And I don't think it's a surprise that LSU went to California and got a kid out of Narbonne to play defensive line. It's at a private school that, you know, is kind of doesn't have that same kind of everyone coming after him mentality. And Damon Clowney does have everyone coming after him, but he plays up in Maryland in D.C., and it's not the same type of recruiting that happens in Mississippi schools or happens in a lot of kind of southeast hotbed states. So I think they're seeing it as a chance that, look, Bama's been doing this. You go look at Bama's defensive line, all of them are from the Midwest or from the East Coast, and I don't think that's a coincidence. I think they're finding a way to go up, recruit kids that you think are going to remain committed, that you really won't ever have any drama with, and then that gives you or affords you the opportunity, Ben, to feel better about that and spend more time kind of closing on other guys and not sitting around with, you know, 5, 6, 7 open spots and saying, boy, hopefully we can fend everybody off for these, you know, South Mississippi kids or kids from the Delta or East Texas, you know, whatever it might be, where it seems like recruitment's just getting way more wild, wild west on you.
Shea, I got to say this before we hit a break, and yeah, we're coming back to flip the script. This is the first time we've had you on since our show really received an incredible honor. I'm only bringing that up to say this. I've been asked a number of times since Thursday when we found out that this was the best sports radio show in Louisiana per LAB. I've been asked, okay, so how do you think that happens? What makes the show what it is? And I said, it really is very, very simple. You have to have consistent, great guests. You've been A1 since day one. So this is me saying thank you. I hear about this interview, Ruffin Rodriguez, everywhere I go. So sincerely, thank you for helping us do what we're doing. And maybe we'll be able to hold on to you for another Tuesday or two.
Oh, it sounds like now that you throw all that in that you owe me a meal at Ruffino's.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. You come this way because we're going to start doing weekly remotes at Ruffino's on the river. We'll treat you and your beautiful wife to dinner out there. Ruffin will serenade you with a song. It'll be a night you don't forget.
There you go. I'm in. Congratulations. I'm happy for you guys.
Hey, he's Shea Dixon. You can read his work at go247.com, and we're fortunate you can listen to him here on Tuesdays. And he'll be back with us on the other side. We're taking it all in, having a blast at T-Mobile. Yeah, that's right. Come find us. T-Mobile at I-49 Frontage Road at Sanye Road. Come and see for yourself why T-Mobile has the happiest customers in wireless. And seriously, every Tuesday, customers get discounts and gifts up to $650 back to pay off your contract via trade-in credit and prepaid card when you trade in your phone. We'll be right back in. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
We're going back to our regular show.
All right, this is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Follow on Facebook and Twitter now
at 103.7 The Game.
We're going to do things different.
Can we be just like we were?
We're going to flip the script.
It's time to flip the script with Shea Dixon on 103.7 The Game.
You know I'll flip.
Right back in, almost like we never left. Ben Love joined for another segment by Shea Dixon. Go247.com. It's a Tuesday, B2BS, and we're live from T-Mobile on the I-49 Frontage Road at Sanye Road on 103.7 The Game. Shea, welcome back in. I know that you've got the tournament, March Madness, on your mind, so why don't you spit on that? Let's have some fun with it. Let's flip the script.
Yes, it's on everyone's minds. Okay, well, let me ask you this. This may sound funny, but I think the people listening will kind of catch my drift. So we'll go back to 06. That was when they made the Final Four, correct? It was 2006?
Yes.
Okay, so they're right now they're as far as they've been since then. And I can remember, I was in college then, so I was just a fan, right, like everybody else listening. And when they made it through Duke and Texas, and we talked about it last week on the show, you were at that regional where they rolled through those games, and they got to the Final Four, and I guess most people remember, like, they got smashed by UCLA in the Final Four. And even going into that game, I didn't really care. Like, I felt like everything from there was lane gap, right? That it had been so fun to watch them beat Duke, the Darryl Mitchell over Texas A&M, the overtime game against Texas. Not like a luck had run out type thing, but I just felt like, look, when you make the Final Four, it's almost like winning it all, right? And I know that sounds stupid, but that's just kind of the mentality I was at. And so now I'm now to this year, and I'm covering it, and I'm not on the beat, but I'm still in the media, so I'm kind of in no man's land here. But I look at it, and I'm trying to get into the mind of the fan base, and are we at that final? Like, is everything else lanyap? Not because the team wasn't talented or that they're carrying a higher seed than they were then, but that they don't have Will Wade, that they weren't sure about Javonte Smart, that you didn't know how it was all going to go. I think all LSU fans feared, I don't want to go up there and get barbecued, like not win a game. And then all of a sudden you win two and you're through and you get another week of basketball. So you dive into the mind. Are LSU fans, are they going to be uber depressed, locked in a closet if they lose this weekend? Or is it, look, hey, this was fun to watch all year. They didn't have their coach. To get this far, I was impressive enough.
It's more of the latter, and I don't know if I would refer to it as, hey, everything from here is whatever, you know, land yap. I would say this, I think it's house money. And now if you say that's tomato, tomato, then we agree. But I do think that from here, you're playing with house money, right? Because preseason, everyone said this is the type of team that we feel like should be able to get to the Sweet 16. Preseason ranked, I should say, in the top 25, but not the top 15, top 16. So to an extent, especially without Wade for these last, what, four games, the two tournament games? Yes, to an extent, LSU has already done what many people thought that they could. And I think because of the fact that behind door number one is Michigan State, behind door number two, we presume, is going to be the number one overall seed in Duke, yeah, then that for me makes this even more house money. But here's the thing. The more that we get closer and near Friday, the more I think that they can win this game. And the line is 6. We discussed that with Cody Worsham earlier. I think it's probably about right. Michigan State, 2 straight seasons of 30 wins. I mean, so a Hall of Fame head coach, there's no question that State deserves to be favored. But this LSU team is nasty. And if this were football, you wouldn't feel this way because LSU's won 3 national championships. If it were baseball, you sure as hell wouldn't feel this way, because LSU's been stacking up ships, and they just went to the best 2 out of 3 final a few years back against Florida and lost. And while there were some that were proud, many said, well, we didn't fully scale the mountain when we had before, so this isn't good enough, maybe. For LSU basketball, the Final Four is still Mount Everest. And so I completely got your point, and I still get it. About 2006, LSU has yet to win a game in the Final Four, by the by, so maybe that new Everest is getting to the national championship game. Is getting to the Sweet 16 this year good enough? It's awfully good. I would just say that from here on out, they're playing on house money. I don't know if you agree or disagree, or maybe you think that's the same exact statement.
No, I think it's a different way to put it. I like your way of putting it. So, yes, and that's a, I thought you put it well, right? Like, they were a top 25 team. Everyone thought they were really a top 15 team. They got there. I think they peaked at 9, which now if you win, you're into the Elite Eight. So, yeah, I think they're on that threshold now of being exactly who everyone thought they were, and now we'll see if they're better. This is tough to ask, obviously. Like, this is a radio show where we can ask these kind of questions. You saw tons of games, obviously, from both these teams. No one would have guessed at the time that on the 06 team that Garrett Temple would be the guy who would still be in the NBA right now all these years later. But people think this team, right, has some NBA players on it. Maybe certainly on the bench they've got some guys who could develop into NBA players with multi-year college careers. Is this team, as you said, it's nasty. Is this team better than that team was?
Wow. I think that they're a better overall team in terms of depth. They're not going to have a guy that gets drafted in the top, what, 4? Like Stromile Swift, right? So they're not going to have that type of presence. Having said that, there are a lot of future pros on this team. And understand the context. I mean professional basketball players, not NBA exclusive. Tremont Waters will play double-digit years of professional basketball. Will it all be in the association? I would bet not. But still, getting paid is getting paid to play the game. I think he does it for 10-plus years. Naz Reid, to me, I think at this point, he feels like maybe a back into the first round type of guy. I actually think there's a chance that Reed's a better pro than a collegiate. I look at the rest of that roster, and I think that Emmett Williams has a chance to play professionally. I think that Darius Days, Javonte Smart have a chance to play professionally. But the one maybe that is the most undervalued in terms of getting to the next level, and if you want to draw a comparison of, wow, who would have bet, as you said, Shea, who would have bet that Garrett Temple became the longest tenured pro, I'm going to point you to Cavell Bigby Williams and suggest that those don't grow on trees. And everything that he does for this team enables everyone else on this team, right? He does what nobody else wants to do. He does what has to be done so everyone else can do kind of what they want to and can freelance a little bit. That plays in a big way at the next level. So I think the most undervalued pro on this team is Cavell Bigby Williams, and I'm going to go ahead and say it. I think there's a chance that this is a better overall team than the 06 group. One really, really big difference, Shea, and I mean really big. That 06 team came factory baked, if you will, with chemistry. I mean, it was, what, 3 or 4 cats from Baton Rouge, and then right down the road here in St. Martinville, Daryl Mitchell Jr., who played with a lot of these guys in summer circuits. So that was something that John Brady inherited. And on the fly, Will Wade, Tony Benford, you can't exactly implant that into this team. So I see that as the biggest difference. And by the way, when I talked future pros, I didn't mention Skylar Mays. The only reason is because he'll be a doctor one day. Kind of like Matty Mauk. He might forego a pro career of some sort to go ahead and be a PhD. But still, it's a good question you ask.
And you said, obviously, you said Stromile Swift, you obviously meant Tyrus Thomas. You're blending together your big man, but that happens. Just point that out in case anyone sitting at home caught it.
Thank you.
Keep you straight, Ben. Hey, look, best radio show in the state. We got to keep you straight.
That's right. No, you know we appreciate it.
I don't want to say who, because this is like, you could just answer the same one or two guys. Like, who has to have a big game for them to win this weekend or get through the weekend, which, you know, what an accomplishment, wow, that would be. But who does? Let's just stick to Friday. Who does have a big game? Who do you think? Pick one guy that you say this guy is going to affect the game. He could have 8. It could be a Darius Days, 8 points, 4, you know, 4 boards, whatever. But who is playing above their sort of threshold and turning in something memorable this weekend?
I have been singing this tune ever since I saw the matchup coming down the pike. It's got to be Javonte Smart if they're going to win on Friday night. He's not their best player. He's probably not even their second best player. What I know is this. Trey Waters will get the best perimeter attention that Tom Izzo can throw at him. Doesn't mean that he won't circumvent it and find his way to 16 to 25 points. If Trey does that, LSU can win, even if Smart is, relatively speaking, dormant. But here's what my gut tells me. A tough man defensive team like Michigan State is going to require a creative dribbler, somebody who knows how to get into crevices, into spaces, can control his body and finish at the rim. If I were to draw up that specimen in a lab, at least for a 6'4 guard, it would look exactly and move exactly like Javonte Smart. So what I know is this. If they're able to share the load a little bit in terms of ball handling, in terms of who the sets run through, I know that Tremont Waters has to be number one in line there, but I'm hoping that there's a good bit of Javonte Smart mixed in, that they're going to let him freelance a little with the ball in his hands. I know this time of year, you don't always trust freshmen, especially at a point guard type position. But if he's drawing a secondary perimeter defender and it's man defense, Javonte Smart can not only get buckets, he can get to the foul line. I think he is a tremendous weapon and an X factor for LSU in this game.
Oh, I'm excited about this one. Hey, look, basketball, when it gets rolling, it's a lot of fun. I had the itch to go to D.C. I'm curious, you think a lot of your listeners are going, because there's people over here in Baton Rouge that are piling on, that were looking hard for tickets, trying to make a weekend out, or excuse me, plane tickets, trying to make a weekend out of it. I'm curious to see how many people show up, and I bet there are a lot of LSU alumni around the D.C. area on the East Coast, but I thought, Ben, at least for me, what came through on the TV looked like a really good LSU crowd in Jacksonville.
Yes, it did. When you consider this bracket, it's going to be interesting because Duke obviously is an area regional team. Virginia Tech, I mean, even closer. And then there's Michigan State, which in and of itself is a nice national brand. So in terms of proximity, yeah, Bayou Bengals fans will have to travel the farthest. But I think they'll be well represented. After all, they don't get to do this but once every decade or so.
You bring up a good thought, too. Now that they're at this point, they're sort of the underdog, and Duke's going to have the place packed out because they play right after. Duke's fans are going to be rooting for LSU?
I believe they will, but I think the rest of the nation is rooting against LSU. That's at least the pulse that I'm taking, because all of my friends in the basketball world that have no thoughts, cares, or pretense toward the purple and gold, they don't like everything that's going down with Wade. They think it's a distraction. I will say that I think that LSU has been kind of labeled as a rebel outlaw program this year, and for some, that means they don't like them. But hell, we've seen people rally behind Georgetown, UNLV, Michigan, when at times they have been outlaw programs. So maybe I got this thing completely chopped, screwed, and mixed up. But I do think Duke would rather see LSU than Michigan, yes, or Michigan State.
Yeah, I bet the Blue Devils fans will be cheering for LSU down the stretch in that one. Hey, look, another great segment. This is what makes your radio show the tops in the state, Ben.
I know. And again, one day you will move here and co-host it. That's a talk for another day, though. Shay, thank you so much, man. Have a great night.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
He still thinks I'm joking when I say that. Seriously, though, we'll get the realtor. We'll force that move. We're coming right back in. Time to throw a little shade and take your phone calls. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we're live from T-Mobile on the I-49 Frontage Road at Sonye Road. B2BS coming right back in on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
The famous Clint D says something none of us will agree with.
Back to more top shelf analysis for your drive home. It's Bumper to Bumper Sports on 103.7 The Game.
Here we go, another half hour. Maybe a little less, but who's counting? It's Bumper to Bumper Sports. Back into T-Mobile and Carencrow on 103.7 The Game. Phone lines open between now and 6 o'clock. React to anything you heard from myself and Shay Dixon. Fire away when ready. 706-0111. There is some slightly disturbing news that I could share with you in a moment regarding a Houston Astros star. It is not end of the world type stuff. It's not even end of the season type stuff. It's just disturbing. And, well, it got me thinking. We have a daily segment devoted to throwing shade. Perhaps this qualifies. Before that, how about your daily reminder? It's a PSA locally that no one throws shade outside your home or business like the pros at Patio Center. Go to the website, patiocenter.com. Check out the retractable shades and screens, the standing seam metal awnings, and the customized patio covers with the cypress accents. And know that you can trust in their management. It starts at the top with Mark. They'll sit down with you, help you to create a vision. The best part, they'll fulfill it, and you can trust your house in their hands. Collectively, the team at Patio Center, they're ready to up your patio game in 2019. And all it takes to start, a trip to patiocenter.com. The kings of customization, it's never one size fits all for the licensed, insured, and bonded professionals at Patio Center.
It's time for Throwing Shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. Nobody throws shade outside your home or business like Patio Center. Visit the website at patiocenter.com.
I'll give the credit here. David Barron, sports reporter for the Houston Chronicle, within the last hour, reporting that A.J. Hinch has said Carlos Correa set to be evaluated for his sore neck, which led to him being scratched in the two exhibition games. Correa, according to manager A.J. Hinch, has felt discomfort since a rundown play last Friday. Not going to throw shade at a player for getting injured. That's what happens when you play contact and, well, at this point, mainly just professional sports in general. But I'll take this opportunity to throw shade at spring training as it exists, at OTAs and minicamp as they exist. Back in my day, in one of my favorite sports, professional basketball, Shaq just showed up fat and played his way into shape. And I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, nor am I necessarily suggesting that you should show up fat. You can at least be in shape. You make enough money, right? Get the personal trainer, get the personal chef. But for the love of all things holy, stop having players play in meaningless games. And yeah, the NFL wants to expand the number of games played, whether it's in the preseason or during the regular season. I'm against it. I'm against all of these guys going out there and just battling when maybe it's unnecessary during spring training. Perhaps A.J. Hinch, Jeff Luhnow, Reed Ryan and company disagree with me, but I just hate the idea of playing when it doesn't matter. At that level, don't get me wrong, when you're young, up and coming, you got to learn the game somehow. You got to learn how to compete when you're tired somehow. But Carlos Correa, in my opinion, is far removed from that type of designation. So Astros fans, again, like I said, disturbing news, but hey, the world will go on. The Stros will begin their season this Thursday. Yeah, we're awfully excited about it. We're going to have the opening game of the season on the rewind. More on that momentarily. But this kind of thing puts a damper on it. When some of your best players get hurt before it even starts, it's a bummer. And you'll recall, Friday, we had James Moran on this show. Asked him about his Yankees. He said if they would just stop getting hurt, I think they could be world beaters this year. And he said something that I'll repeat for you now. If you're not healthy to begin the season, very rarely are you going to get healthy inside the season. So throwing a little shade at spring training, you got to play when it matters. When it doesn't, keep the stars out as much as possible.
We're done throwing shade on Bumper to Bumper Sports. For now, you want your life made in the shade? Visit patiocenter.com and explore ways to improve life outside your home or business.
All right, CD, fair or foul? Is that too simplistic? The pros need to stop having so many damn practice games, or do you agree?
Oh, no, I'm in complete agreement with you, Ben, on that one. It's definitely a little too much, especially with spring training. There's a ton of them. And the fact that you've got a 162-game season already, I think that's more than enough time to get warmed up, right?
You would hope so. One thing we can't tell you before we hit our final break of the show, LSU baseball taking on McNeese tonight, 6:30. First pitch from the box, 6 o'clock. Clint and I bringing you to that pregame show. I can now get you the lineup. Credit goes to our good friend. I just mentioned him, in fact. James Moran, Tiger Rag Magazine. Here's the 1-9 tonight. Smith, bat first, play short. Watson, batting second in center. Duplantis, right field, batting third. Professional hitter. Chris Reed, cleanup, playing in the hot corner. Cabrera, batting fifth in left field. DiGiacomo, up to the sixth hole. He'll DH. Saul Garza, back in the lineup. He'll catch and bat seventh. Cade Beloso, will bat eighth and play first base. And Brant Broussard back in the lineup, batting ninth to round things out. He'll play, as I mentioned, at second. Mikhail Hilliard on the mound. So here you go. Saul Garza back behind the plate, as Maneri suggested yesterday. All right, for the final time in today's program, we're going to step aside. The great news, we're coming right back out to T-Mobile in Karen Crow, located where the I-49 Frontage Road meets Sanye Road. It's right next door to La Pizzeria. In fact, I think there's a little bit of free pizza here from La Pizzeria. So come check it out and see what T-Mobile Tuesday is all about. This is Bumper to Bumper Sports, and we'll be back quick, fast, and in a hurry on 103.7 The Game.
Let's go! Let's go, baby!
This is Acadiana's number one sports station.
And you're listening to Bumper Sports with Ben Love on 103.7 The Game.
Live online at 103.7thegame.com.
Get in on the conversation.
Call on the game hotline.
706-0111.
706-0111.
Barreling down on 6 o'clock, we're right back into T-Mobile in Carncrow. We're just wrapping up our stay for a T-Mobile Tuesday, but it's going to go on until 8 o'clock tonight, and they got great hours throughout the week. You got more chances before April 1st, just like Matt did. He came and stopped in. He's from Milton. Come in and join us if you get a chance. But between now and April 1, you come and sign up, you change your plan, and these cats are going to get you MLB TV for free. Just part of the thing that makes T-Mobile Tuesday exactly what it is. Bumper to Bumper Sports back on 103.7 The Game. Our phone lines wide open, 706-0111. I do want to, Clint, I'll get you to touch in a moment on the Cajuns, Tulane. It's a big home game. It's an opportunity to maybe reverse the tide a little bit before another weekend series on the road. Cajuns going to Troy this weekend, but something interesting that we can share. And well, it always happens in the break, right? You get something and you pass it along. James Moran, sometimes he gets things wrong. We do it. We get it. A little bit of a switcheroo in the starting lineup tonight. DiGiacomo is going to be in left field for LSU. So as you listen momentarily, Jeff Palermo, I would imagine, CD, you'll tell me if I'm wrong there. Is it Palermo with Doug Thompson tonight, or is Chris Blair in for that?
I believe it probably will be Jeff Palermo. I might be wrong, but I'm almost certain it would be Jeff Palermo if he
would think so.
If you have him, your boy Blair heading up to Washington, D.C. in a couple days.
Well, if you listen to Cody, they'll be making that trip tomorrow. Yeah. So, I don't know. On the eve of a travel day, we'll see if at home it'll be Chris Blair or not. Hey, you got to stay tuned to listen and find out. But it will be DiGiacomo in left tonight. That means that Daniel Cabrera, the sophomore from Parkview Baptist, will be your D.H. All right, let's switch over, as I mentioned, CD. We'll go from LSU over to UL. What can you tell us about the starting pitching tonight? And what do you like, dislike about this matchup for Robichaud and the Cajuns?
Well, it just came out about 30 minutes ago. Jack Burke going to get the start for the Cajuns, which kind of tells you everything you need to know about the matchup between the Cajuns and Tulane. Yeah, the Green Wave going with Krishna Raj. He'll be getting the start for the Green Wave. But with Jack Burke, I think it tells you a lot about what they're going to wind up doing tonight. And I think they could wind up going a little bit more Jack and Johnny Holstaff in this midweek game. Thankfully, they only have one, and they've got a little bit of a gap between games. Not like in the case of LSU, where they've got Tuesday and then Thursday, they got to head over to Stark Vegas for a three-game set of the Dude.
Telling you, it's going to be an interesting week for both LSU and UL. An opportunity to go 500 or better. Maybe that rinses out some of the bad taste in vermilion and white or purple and gold mouths. But if they do less than that, there's going to start to be a bit of a hangdog type of feeling. But maybe this will lift your spirits, Clint. And I'm just now catching this. I've been given the news today that Mike Anderson out as Arkansas basketball coach. He's not the only Power 5 head coach to get the axe today. Same thing happened to Tim Miles, Nebraska ball. That's right. The Nebraska Cornhuskers basketball coach. This is fantastic. He was asked earlier today, and I do want to give the credit here. Let's see who we got. It is going to be, I believe, a CBS affiliate, exactly, out of Lincoln, Nebraska. When asked what he's going to do next, recently fired Nebraska head coach Tim Miles says, quote, "I'm going to get in that car, go hang out with my wife and my kids and my dog, and have a cold Coors Light. end quote. So God bless Tim Miles. And if you're going to get the axe, my guess is you're going to have more than just the one cold Coors Light. My guess is that with your buyout, you're going to buy everybody in town a couple of Coors Lights.
Yeah, I mean, you should on your way out. I definitely think that'd be the way to go. Just, hey, everybody who was a fan of us over the years while I was coaching, why not come on down to the local watering hole and I'll buy everybody a beer.
You know, okay, you've given me an interesting thought here, Clint. And as always, we spiral toward the end of the show, right? And we devolve into some fun conversations. You don't drink. We've established that on the program before. I don't get that, but that's your choice. What I want to know is this. Do you buy people drinks? Is that something that as a sober man that you still do when you have the opportunity? Do you front drinks for friends and family of yours?
You know, I've never thought of that. No, I have not. In the too long didn't read version, yeah, I would say.
If you don't know if you're buying people drinks, you're not buying people drinks. I think that answered itself there. Okay, yeah. So we cannot put on your resume drinker, nor can we put someone who will buy others drinks.
Yes.
So you need to work on that a little bit. It's Lent, and so some people cut things out. Maybe you could put something in. If you need to add something in your life, just go to a local bar and buy people drinks. Maybe even the tap room on a Thursday, for example.
Sounds like a plan.
I know you don't get off until 7 o'clock. Actually, we got early Thursday this week, don't we?
Yeah, we get
you
out early.
LSU baseball, the dude. Go ahead, brother.
No, I was just saying, yeah, we do. We get off of 5:30 pregame, 6 o'clock first pitch. And, of course, you'll hear it all right here on 103.7 The Game.
Shameless plug. But, yes, we do get off a little bit early on Thursday. Do you know what starts this Thursday over in the River Ranch area?
I mean, it's got to be something with a little alliteration, like Bumper to Bumper Sports, but it's called Rhythms on the River, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, it is Rhythms on the River. Bag of Donuts is playing.
Oh,
that
nice.
Would be the perfect opportunity for you to come out and buy someone a drink. In fact, the more that I spin this thing forward, why don't you come buy me a drink at the tap room on Thursday?
I'll definitely do that, Ben.
Seriously, though, buy a woman a drink. Don't buy me a drink. If you come to the tap room, we'll make that happen for you. So, Clint, we're going to keep expanding your horizons as best we can. We can't put the liquor down your throat, but we can encourage you to go out there and meet the ladies and maybe explore the space that way. All right, your big news of the day as we wind it down on a Tuesday. Jared Cook, 2-year, $15.5 million deal, and Drew Brees has a new target. And what's funny about this, we spoke a lot on yesterday's show about the career of Rob Gronkowski, one of the most versatile dual-threat tight ends we've ever seen. Run blocker, I think you'd have to put him in the top 3 to 4 run-blocking tight end of all-time conversation, along with the Mike Ditkas of the world, perhaps. I would argue the Shannon Sharps of the world. But versatile enough, even at that size, and just an absolute humongoid, that he could still go out and be somebody that's at least akin to a Tony Gonzalez, Antonio Gates, Kellen Winslow, some of the best pass-catching tight ends of all time. So a great fusion tight end was Rob Gronkowski. Do not mistake the guy that's coming to New Orleans with being that type of cat. He's not. Jared Cook is not staying in tight as your sixth offensive lineman with regularity. I'm sure that Peyton and company will sprinkle some of that in to where they're not, you know, completely and utterly predictable by formation down and distance. Jared Cook is a pass-catching tight end. He's one that you can flex out. He's somebody that will take the heat off of Michael Thomas. You can do some really cool matchup things with Taysom Hill in the game at the same time. This is exactly the B12 shot in the arm that Brees and the offense needed as they want to make one final run toward a world championship. Now, when I say one final run, in my eyes, I kind of see that as being a run made with Drew Brees. The window for this franchise isn't exactly going to close shut definitively when number 9 walks out that door. But I think if they find a way to win it next year, my gut tells me that's it, that's all. Swan song time. After that, you figure out the future, whether it's Teddy Bridgewater or not. You figure it out after Brees, and you still have a chance to continue winning. And so, Cook, you got him for 2 years. That ought to be as much as Brees needs to get it done, if he's going to get it done again. So this is the signature offseason acquisition of 2019. Last year, it was Demario Davis. That worked out quite nicely for all parties involved. The year before, I could argue it was Alex Okafor. You might say it's Larry Warford. what Okafor was for 2 years, despite the ACL or Achilles injury, I believe, was just a warrior and somebody that even this past season played his way into a pretty big contract while they brought Marcus Davenport along. The year prior to that, the Saints continued to add to what's been a solid core of receivers. I believe that was when they went and got Ted Ginn Jr. So they've had success with offseason acquisitions, but this certainly is the one, the star, that will hang the highest for 2019. So pretty big deal today, in my opinion. Jared Cook solidifying the offensive attack through the air. The other big story that we frequented today, and you can continue following all over your favorite 103.7 The Game social media outlet, is Tony Romo worth $10 million a year as a broadcaster? Don't know if he's going to fetch it, but it's what he's asking for. If CBS wants to keep him alongside Jim Nance, dude did a Super Bowl this year, if they want that duo to continue past Romo's current contract ending, in 2020, they're going to have to cough up $10 million a year, and I think he's going to get it. So those two of your biggest storylines today. I do want to thank our guests. Each and every Tuesday, we get a visit from Cody Worsham, digital media reporter for LSU Sports. He had boots on the ground in Jacksonville. He's heading to the nation's capital in the next 48 hours. Glad he made time for us. And, of course, the one and only Shay Dixon. Go247.com. He's our recruiting guru. He also flips the script each and every Tuesday, firing his best questions at me. Our thanks again to Shay. And, of course, for all of you for listening in. We have a new adventure today, right? We come out to T-Mobile in Carecrow. It's been a lot of fun. Even though we're shutting our doors at 6, theirs are wide open until 8 o'clock. So come take advantage and come see the staff here at T-Mobile in Carecrow. Randy and company, they're going to hook you up on a T-Mobile Tuesday. They've got umbrellas they're giving out to customers, discounts on concert tickets and gas to current customers, and they'll convince you that this is better than your current plan. Trust me, part of the way they're going to do that, you switch to T-Mobile before April 1, and you get MLB TV free all season long on any device. Our thanks again to T-Mobile, I-49 Frontage Road at Sanye Road, right next door to La Pizzeria. For the famous Clint D, my name is Ben Love. LSU Baseball next on 103.7 The Game.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette, this is KLWB Karen Crow Lafayette. 103.7 The Game, a Delta Media station. Call Lafayette.